Hear, hear, with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
The right to vote is considered a fairly basic right, and it has to be said, particularly within the black community, a very hard won right. Hello, my name's Sean Dilley. This is Hear Hear, the show that takes a look at the world of politics and current affairs as it affects real people. This week, we're discussing the disenfranchisement of black voters.
Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning.
Hear, hear, with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
It's pretty much the most basic right, isn't it? The notion that we can all put our X on the box when it comes to voting for the person who we think is going to be the person we want to represent us, be it in Parliament, in the European Parliament indeed, council elections. But for too many people, it's just not something that's considered a necessity in life. Later, we'll be hearing from Liam Gallimore-Wells, who's involved with the Labour Party in Bristol.
Listen, above all, listen to what people have to say to you.
And political activist Desmond Jaddo.
Politicians window dress it. They say things like, we celebrate our diversity. But no political party wants to embrace it.
And Desmond is the founder of the Birmingham Empowerment Forum. But the guest of the week, not next to me in studio, alas, but joining us via high-tech computer technology and all that clever stuff, I'm joined by Elizabeth Pears from the Voice newspaper, the biggest black newspaper, Elizabeth, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We celebrated our 30th anniversary last year, so we are the biggest selling, longest running black newspaper in Britain.
The elephant in the room, and that's me, actually. I wouldn't describe myself as an elephant normally. I'm a member of the parliamentary lobby in the House of Commons, which is, for the most part, white and it's male. Can I understand this issue truthfully?
I think that you can understand it. And I think one of the mistakes that we make when we're talking about culture, diversity, black representation, is that we tend to have the conversation amongst ourselves, and we actually need to have it across the board. It's not a scary thing. It's not, you know, it's something that we need to talk about more. I think that's what I'd say.
Doing some research for this programme, Elizabeth, there's an awful lot of angry rhetoric, possibly understandable, I don't know what you think, from certain elements of the black and minority ethnic community when it comes to disenfranchisement, yes, but there seems to be an awful lot of suggestion of modern oppression. Would that be fair?
I mean, it depends what you mean by modern oppression.
I think the figures talk for themselves. We actually have a relatively good rate compared to the rest of Europe, behind just the Netherlands, as I understand it, in terms of black and ethnic minority people voting. But by the same token, you know, there have been numerous reports. We can look at the Electoral Commission report of 2001, the work also of Parliament itself, looking at 2010 reports, 10% of our population are black and ethnic minority, yet we just don't have the same representation at the ballot boxes. Why is that?
Well, I think the answer lies in what the priorities are of the political parties. I mean, for quite a long time, the African and Caribbean community have been closely aligned with the Labour Party because they're responsible for introducing a lot of the race relations legislation that made our lives better. But actually, when you look at the party, if you go back to the 1980s, they elected four black MPs. And now you fast forward to 2012 and you look at representation in Parliament, and actually not a lot has changed. There are still sort of four, you know, black and mixed race MPs. So the representation hasn't improved, even though the census has showed that the population of Britain is changing dramatically.
Well, they've basically got 5% of MPs in Parliament are from black and ethnic minority backgrounds, which is obviously under the 10% threshold. But how do we address that problem?
Well, I think it's all about really what can you do as a community. And the thing is, we've just got to have more political capital. And the only way that you can do that is by voting. And until we actually vote for ourselves, there's no need for political parties to start getting worried and taking us seriously. But obviously, I think that the census has presented an opportunity to get some leverage. The black vote can make a difference in particular constituencies in London and in Birmingham. What's been interesting for us at The Voice is just seeing how the Conservative Party are now under serious threat from UKIP, who nobody would have considered a threat a couple of years ago. And a way for them to gain back some of that power in particular constituencies would be to court the back vote. So as we approach the 2015 general election, the Conservative Party, I think, are actively trying to say to black communities, you know, you can vote for us. I don't know whether they're going to do that through policy or increasing representation within their own party, but that's definitely something that I think is on their agenda.
OK, well, look, Audio Boo's own Dolores William has been speaking with some people on the streets, starting, let's hear from Alvin.
I think the consequences are that over a period of time, we will become increasingly disenfranchised from voting. I also think that the next generation will be more disengaged than they ever have been. I think the reasons that they don't vote are because they have a perception that their voice doesn't matter. And I also think that traditionally, a lot of black people have occupied a demographic which is seen as the lower end of the economic scale or the socioeconomic scale. And for that reason, I think that a lot of those people within that bracket don't tend to engage politically.
What do you think we can do about getting this back in order?
The issues that matter have to be put on the table as a talking point for black people. And I think that black people also need to understand how their vote directly affects the issues which affect them. I also think that for a long period of time, they're seen as either the community, quote unquote. And I think that over the last 20, 30 years, black people have become more and more diverse. So you can't really say that a black person is traditionally Labour or traditionally disenfranchised. We've grown as a people. So you have black people who are more black people who are upwardly mobile now. And sadly, you have more black people who occupy the underclass, as it were. And I think because of that, you do yourself or you do us as black people a disservice in just lumping them together as one voting bloc.
And on the flip side,
I don't vote because I think it's not really beneficial to me, to be honest.
Why?
Look at the state of America and Barack Obama. He's not really helping us people, you know?
So, Elizabeth, rather interesting contrasts of opinion there.
I mean, I personally couldn't explain that, but I guess it depends on the household that you grew up in. But I think everybody kind of touched upon something that's true. There is a general disenfranchisement when it comes to politics across the country, and that's what recent statistics are showing us. Less people are turning out for the general election, less people are turning out for local councils, and all of the parties are seeing a drop in voters. And I think that there is a case of politicians being out of touch, but I also think that there is a problem with what are they talking about. I mean, they need to come back to the community and find out, you know, what it is that people really want at the end of the day. And that's even more true when it comes to the race agenda. And unless politicians are talking about it, they just won't attract voters because nobody wants to hear what.
Yeah, that's right. I think
saying.
That's a fair point, Elizabeth. We'll put it into a bit of context as well. There is a general disconnect across the board with politicians. But just to run over some statistics, general elections here we're talking about, 90% of the white population votes, 78% of the Asian population votes, 72% of black and Caribbean people vote, and 59% of black Africans vote. Now, actually, those figures compared to other European countries, they're really not as bad, but there clearly is an issue, particularly with the black African community. I guess people from different ethnic minorities, are the issues different for each ethnic minority?
Well, I think that the basic issues are going to be the same. You know, housing, employment, and families. Those are the three sort of core issues. And they speak to everybody across the board. But I think what it is that maybe some minorities are finding themselves, I guess, disconnected from the rest of society, possibly living in their own sort of small bubbles. And like I said, if politicians want to attract their votes, I think they have to start trying to speak their language. And that's to talk about the issues that are specific to them.
And I guess, Elizabeth, the other issue is how to get young black and ethnic minority men and women into politics in the first place. And on that subject, we've spoken to Liam Gallimore-Wells, who's involved with the Labour Party locally in Bristol.
Advice, keep it real. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep it real. Keep connected with your local community, with the people who know you, who trust you. And listen, above all, listen to what people have to say to you. It's not an intellectual game. Politics, it's about representation. It's about representation, representing what people want to see represented, and building policies around what people want. So keep it real, be number one. Number two, I'd say be very, very, very careful how you live your life.
You don't want it coming back to haunt you.
Absolutely right, yeah, and I think that's quite right. I love that about England, the transparency that's there and the responsibility that goes with public service, and that's why I'm very passionate about there being, you know, maximum transparency in people before they go into it, if they're passionate about going into politics, to realise that a certain lifestyle must go with that, as it does.
Now, the lyrics there of goodbye doesn't mean forever, rather ironically playing in the background.
The worst thing really is to be defeatist. And I know that as it comes up to the general election, The Voice is really going to be trying to equip our readers with all the information that they need to go down to the ballot box. But we're saying to them, we don't care what political party you vote for, but please make sure that you exercise, you know, the very hard fought for right to vote. And I think that when you talk about getting involved in politics, it's great if you're an elected representative, but there are other ways. You know, sometimes we've seen campaigns, community campaigns, activism. Those are other means to get the result that you want without actually having to be an elected representative. And what we have seen is with the leaders that we do have, sometimes once they get elected, they kind of tend to forget where they've come from, or they don't vote along the lines that the community would want them to, because of things like, you know, the whip, for example, the party whip. Mm-hmm. So sometimes activism and just, you know, attending local meetings at your council, you know, licensing,
it can influence the policy you're saying. I guess it's a party leadership issue there.
Yeah, because for us it's always strange. I mean, we know that our readers are opinionated. We know that they have very strong beliefs on every single issue across the board. So we're saying, if you have got opinions, we know that you do, why aren't you voting? Because that's the only way, that's the only capital that you've got now more than ever with the census results.
Is the answer, the solution to this problem, does it lie with political parties who are failing to engage properly, specifically the black African community being the least likely to vote of all ethnic minorities, or is it within the community itself?
To be honest, I think our ideology is that sometimes, you know, we can be aware that political parties can do more, but we always point the finger back at ourselves and say, you know, we have got the power in our hands. Whether or not we use it is down to us. So really, you know, of course, political parties could do more and should do more to engage. They should, you know, when they promise something, they should deliver on it. That's one issue. But definitely the second issue is, if you want heads to turn, if you want to capture people's attention, you have to vote, because that's what political parties listen to. They listen to votes. They don't listen to complaints.
I don't know a politician who does what they say. That's a tall order for any politician, I think, Elizabeth. Well, look, we've also been receiving quite a bit of comment here on Audio Boo. Let's take a listen to some of the boos we've had in.
Have I got boos for you?
This week, we've been out on the streets of Lewisham. Our first contributor explains why he thinks that America is illustrative of his disillusionment.
Look at the state of America and Barack Obama. He's not really helping us people, you know?
Gillian, meanwhile, does vote.
It's simply an expression of my democratic right, and to state exactly the views of parties that I wish to support.
Our next contributor says that she is never going to vote again because politicians have failed to deliver.
I don't feel that the politicians listen to what we have to say. For example, my barriers to childcare at the moment in terms of getting back to work. They've all promised us the world and nothing's been delivered.
Hear, hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo. Sign up for your free account now.
A subject that gets people talking, well, What else would you expect? This is the Hear Hear Show, after all. And if you like us, you can certainly like us on your Facebook by embedding a link to this show. You can visit the website at hearhearshow.co.uk, on Twitter and all the usual places. Now, Elizabeth Pears, she's still with us. We're joined now on the line by Desmond Jadu, who is the founder and organiser of the Birmingham Empowerment Forum. Desmond, what is the forum all about?
Basically, I mean, it's a political lobby group. I set it up when I was intended to run for the elected mayor of Birmingham. Mm. But unfortunately, there was a no vote in the referendum. Mm. And since then, we've just carried on our political engagement work.
All right. Well, we have, as I say, also on the line, we have Elizabeth Pears from The Voice newspaper. We were talking, Elizabeth, about this whole idea of political disconnect. The work that Desmond's doing, that's the sort of thing that you're suggesting would obviously tackle this problem head on.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to get into the community and inspire people to vote. And no one else is going to do that for us because, you know, they probably don't care that much. But we have to do it for ourselves. And the work that Desmond's doing is just fantastic. With young people going into churches, that's the places where you can capture people's imaginations and show them the possibilities. I firmly believe that politics can change things if you get involved.
Desmond, do you think that the solution to disenfranchisement lies within the community or the mainstream political parties who pursue an agenda at the leadership level that may not suit every community?
The problem is twofold, Sean. I mean, the first thing we've got to remember is this. The political parties only care about those that turn out to vote. Mm. They don't care about the ones that really stay at home, in my view. I mean, last week there was the local elections, as you're aware, and everyone went crazy about the result. But I looked at it and I said there was only 39% turnout. 61% of people sat at home and did nothing.
It's not unusual to have a much lower turnout during local elections than the general election, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, traditionally, but even at a general election, you do get turnouts as low as 47% in certain areas. I mean, even the Croydon North by-election, the turnout there was only 26.4%.
Is that a general trust issue with politicians across the board, or is that specifically a BME issue?
It's a general issue across the board, of course it is, but it's compounded by a BME issue. Because if you look at Croydon North, where there is a high BME population, the main political parties they didn't bother to put up a BME candidate. So at the end of the day, you have to look at that as well. So, you know, is the BME community, is the BME vote valued? And indeed, is the black vote valued? And that's creating the disconnect because on our local radio show we did this week, I had someone ring up and say, Desmond, you know, I hear what you're saying. However, a lot of people are more tuned in than what you even think. But what it is, we want to see faces that can recognize and faces that can understand what our lives are like.
Well, see, the mainstream parties are sort of addressing this. David Cameron recalled the A-list, which also focuses on gender as well as race and background. But Elizabeth Pears, do you think that, if you like, a positive discrimination policy is the answer, or could it cause resentment more generally?
I mean, I'm in favour, and I've got to hold my hands up. I'm in favour of all women shortlists, and I'm in favour of black shortlists, especially in constituencies where the population has a high minority population. I think that maybe it might cause resentment outside of the constituency, but I think that's what people in the community actually want. And I think that's the best chance of getting somebody who hasn't sort of been lampooned in from perhaps somewhere up north, if it's down south, or from south, you know, going up north, but somebody who's actually from the community who can actually hand on heart speak for local people.
Well, that's a fair point, but what about the local lady or the local fella who doesn't fit within the BME community A-list type policy? They're much more qualified than other candidates who happen to be there. Are you saying that the issue of underrepresentation would override that, or, you know, should there always be kind of exceptional circumstances taken into consideration?
Well, I think, again, you know, we're in a democracy and, you know, you don't have to vote for that candidate. But to have a shortlist, you know, may the best person win.
Desmond.
My position is very simple. I support a positive, I support positive action if it actually encourages what I call reflective governance, which is governance to represent the demographic makeup of the area. So I support that wholeheartedly. The issue surrounding all-female shortlists, etc., is wonderful. But what we find is political parties don't have the courage of their convictions to, say, put up sometimes an all-BME shortlist. It's easy for them to catapult somebody into any constituency that no one knows. But where the disconnect begins is that I believe politicians, many mainstream party politicians, have actually forgotten they are there to represent the public, hence the disconnect. Once they're even elected into power, it's party first, public second.
Okay, I hear that. I'm going to play devil's advocate and read to you now a quote from Anne Widdecombe, who was a former Maidstone and the Weald Conservative MP for many years. And she had she actually opposed A-lists and positive discrimination. She said that at the time, obviously in power, that she could stand on equal terms looking any man directly in the eye and say that she was there on the same terms that they were. Is there not a danger of accusations of tokenism, Elizabeth?
People will always make accusations of tokenism, but at the same time, I mean, when you look at the cabinet and you see how they're all kind of clones of each other, Eton boys, privately school educated, you know, somebody from the outside in the local community can look at that and say, well, isn't that a type of tokenism, because you're just choosing people who are just like you. So I think the only way to broaden it out is to take direct action, and that's to have a bit of positive discrimination to redress the balance.
Absolutely, and I think that's a fair point to make. But I think also on the issue of tokenism, Desmond, you see the main political parties putting out faces like Chuka Umunna and Adam Afri, even with the Conservatives, obviously controversial topic with leadership aspirations or alleged leadership aspirations. Isn't the danger that that can seem a little bit forced?
Look, we've got to stop apologising for wanting representation. And what we've got to do is, and you know, the issue surrounding tokenism also is an excuse for inaction. As far as I'm concerned, these guys are being chucked there. I'm assuming really for inspiration to say, well, look, we are doing something. The fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, it's window dressing. Because, I mean, the Tories, for example, sent a clear message last week when they finally got rid of the last black person in the inner circle. Now, that speaks volumes. So it doesn't matter what they want to put up front. They have their inner circle. It does not reflect the demographic makeup of this country. And all we're asking for is for reflective governance. And it's not rocket science. It's quite simple.
But the politics of the Conservative Party, and I'm just thinking of you know, my friends who are black, who would say that, I can think maybe of one example where they would say they would vote for the Conservative Party. The politics don't necessarily seem to be compatible with the general view of the community. Desmond, firstly.
Yeah, and that's perfectly true. And I don't think right now we're at a stage where the politics of any of the main political parties don't reflect the community. And in Birmingham, Sean, we're looking at an independent movement to encourage people to stand for office independently. Mm. Because at the end of the day, the parties are just running with their agenda to meander to big business. They don't really care about the people. And, you know, the way in which it's across the board now, that the way in which, especially research showed the other day, that even Labour voters are turning their nose up now at the poor and vulnerable in this country.
Do you know what I genuinely find interesting now? And as I say, we discussed a little earlier, Elizabeth and myself, the idea I'm a white bloke, actually, and whether I can really understand the issues or whether I'm kind of jaded by my own background. But I find it fascinating, all the political parties, I think they really trip over the issue of race. I think that all too often the issue of race and background is confused, incredibly unacceptably in my own view, with the issue of immigration, where there is no link. But all too often, the subjects seem to be debated as one in the same. And to a degree, I almost think that maybe it's the white leadership's guilt. Maybe it's, you know, maybe not just having a handle on the situation itself. I think that honest debate is stilted by political expediency, and that the danger is that more extremist parties down the line could win that centre ground from the parties who, frankly, are afraid to debate the issue. Elizabeth Pearce.
I think that, you know, no political party at the moment is talking about race. Race is completely off the agenda. It's completely unpopular. The second thing is, when I listen to debates about immigration, I don't necessarily associate that with race. And I don't think any of our readers at The Voice, because it's definitely talking about the EU. Sometimes they might get conflated, but I think they're very different things. And it's a much bigger issue for middle voters, EU immigration.
Desmond, we'll bring Desmond in on this one. Do you think that parties trip over themselves on these issues?
Of course they do. I mean, no party wants to tackle the issue of race. Look, in Birmingham especially, we've been always told, I mean, next year Birmingham will be what we call the minority-majority city, where the BME community is over 50%. Fact is, at the end of the day, politicians window dress it. They say things like, we actually celebrate our diversity. But no political party wants to embrace it and work with the diverse communities and reflect that in their MPs and local councillors.
Is that, Desmond, because they're scared?
I think they just don't want to do it.
Why?
I mean, the bottom line is, you know, what meanders to big business? That's what the politicians are about. And I tweeted this out this week on Twitter. Party first, people second. And that's where their motivations are. In terms of the immigration debate, when I heard it last week, what flashed through my mind was no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And it's something Lee Jaff put out on Operation Black Vote. Let's stop hammering immigration. Let's put race back on the agenda. And let's try and work with the diverse communities that exist in this country that have contributed. You know, my parents came here. They were classed as immigrants. Mm. They worked hard and they contributed. One has to be careful when you start hammering immigration.
Well, this is the point I'm making, and I think the issue gets all too confused, if not directly and overtly from political parties, and I would argue that it does, but certainly when people are discussing it in pubs and so forth. But let's put race back on the agenda. Interesting words. Elizabeth Pears, how do you do that without offending entire swathes of communities?
I don't see why people have to get offended by it. I mean, it's ridiculous. The race agenda is just saying, when we're creating public policy, how is this impacting particular communities? And that's across whether it's a Roma gypsy, whether it's a Polish migrant, whether it's someone of Caribbean background or African Caribbean. It's just saying, let's consider their needs. Let's talk to them, engage with them and consider their needs. That's all the race agenda is. Don't ignore us. It doesn't have to be something that you have to get offended about. It's not political correctness. It's about looking at the taxpayers in this country and thinking, are we serving everybody?
Hear, hear, with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Big thank you to Desmond Jaddu from the Birmingham Empowerment Forum, and also to our guest of the week joining us on this occasion via Skype, Elizabeth Pears from The Voice newspaper. Beyond fascinating, really, isn't it? You don't actually have to accept any word that I have said during Hear Hear this week, or Desmond or Elizabeth. Whether you agree or don't agree with the A-list positive discrimination, the figures speak for themselves. 59% of black Africans vote at general elections, compared to 90% of white people. Now, we shouldn't beat ourselves up too much, because if you take the general black and ethnic minority figures as a whole, we can see that we're actually, compared to the rest of Europe, not doing too badly. But not doing too badly isn't good enough, is it? What's the solution? Get involved at the Have I Got Booze For You channel. You can visit the show site, by the way, at hearhearshow.co.uk. Love to know what you think about that. The A-list, is that the way forward or not? Join us next week when we'll be taking a look at unemployment figures and the falling cost of wages in these days of rising inflation. I've been Sean Dilley. This has been Hear Hear, only on Audio Boo.